So welcome everyone to Global Mission Sunday, and I have the pleasure of introducing Daniel and Jenica Van Essen. And Dan and Jenica are missionaries from Mexico, so I thought maybe it would be appropriate to show some stuff. Hopefully it represents Mexico. Dan and Jenica are from Ontario. Dan is from Cobourg, and she's from Ingersoll. And surprisingly, I know where these places are. I've been to Cobourg a few times, a beautiful city. And they stay in Cobourg, and they came from Cobourg today. And they attended Ambrose University, and with various missionary experiences, they went into full-time work. They have two sons, Elliot, who is 8 years, and Ari, who is 6 years. And they have been in Mexico for a year or so, and they're on home assignment. And we attended one of their creations in activity that they created in Mexico, which is called Hola, Hello. And it was a fantastic experience for me, because it's a unique experience where you learn to speak English and Spanish by interacting between peoples of both the cultures. So there were English speakers who were coming to learn Spanish, and Spanish-speaking people who came to learn English. And we made I was perfect, because my Spanish was zero, and my table, there were people whose English was zero. So we had perfect communication, but it was a great ministry. And they will talk about this more when they continue.
Thank you. And before you leave, I have a gift for you. Could you hold something? Or maybe you could pass along the book. Sort of a New Year's, when's your birthday? Did we miss your birthday? I think we did. Okay, so it's a birthday gift for you. It's a book called Across the Street and Around the World, and it is something that we found really excellent in just helping us understand our God-given roles right across the street in our communities and around the world. So it's by an author named Jeannie Marie. So enjoy, and if you ask nicely, he might share it with you. So. Good morning. How is everybody doing today? That's great. Normally, two people respond when I say that. So there was about six people that time. That was much better. And before I forget, I have gifts for the rest of you. It's not a Starbucks gift card by any means. There is no monetary value to these. But we've got some prayer cards, and we've got a bunch, because we have friends, and they said, oh, you're probably going to want, how many? Like 2,500? Or something cards, and we're like, okay, we'll get 2,500 cards, and turns out 2,500 cards is two boxes about this big full of cards, so we would love if you would take some from us, because we don't like lugging these around the country. So it's just on the front, it's our picture, we're in Mexico City, and then on the back are some prayer needs and a way to sign up for our newsletter, and our email addresses are there as well if you're wanting to get in touch with us. So thank you. Thanks for the chance to be here. Can I just pray for us? Awesome. Thank you, Father. We are so grateful that we can come and be here with you. We thank you that you have already invited us to your table, and we've partaken of that. And we are really looking forward to spending the rest of our time this morning with you, experiencing you, hearing from you. And if there's anything that either Jenica or I say that is not what you want to land in people's hearts, don't let it land. I pray that we would all walk out of here hearing exactly what you want us to hear, and obeying you in only the things that you have called us to do next. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. So, thank you. Thank you not only just for having us here, but thank you for being a part of a great big family of churches called the denomination that cares so much about what God is doing both here in Canada and around the world. And so thank you for your generosity. Thank you for giving. Thank you for loving. Thank you for supporting people like us. Thank you for planning short-term trips. Thank you for the things that you're doing even here in the community. We had to navigate through some clothing, and Jenica was talking with other people about some of the amazing things that you guys do, even just across the street and around the world. And so I know we've given a book saying, you know, called Across the Street and Around the World, but I have a strong feeling that you guys are already doing some of those things. Is that true? Awesome. Yes, there we go. That's great. So thank you for being involved in everything that you're involved in. And I hope that today will just be a time of encouragement for you, for us, and that we can grow and learn together. So yeah, like Saji said, I grew up in Cobourg, Ontario. And we're gonna fly through our introduction. It's gonna be like a 3 to 4 minute introduction. So that's a good excuse to grab us afterwards, because we might mention something and you're like, I have questions. Afterwards, you can come and talk to us afterwards. We'll try and make ourselves available. So I grew up in Cobourg, Ontario. I went to Bible college, met Jenica, and Jenica's from?
Ingersoll.
Ingersoll, Ontario, thank you. Near London, Ontario. We dated, and then what happened?
We broke up.
And then what happened?
Then we dated again.
And then we got married. In 2008, in January 2011, Elliot, our oldest, was born in Calgary. And then 7 months later, we moved to Nova Scotia. And we were serving there through something called New Ventures, which is part of our family of churches. And then Ari, our youngest, was born in April of 2013. And then we felt God nudging us towards international work with the Christian Missionary Alliance to be missionaries. So that's a lot in 30 seconds. And then in the spring of 2015, we sold everything and gave away a lot of stuff, and we came back to Ontario before leaving Canada. This is us at the Big Apple near Colborne, which is about 20 minutes down the road from my house. Has anyone seen the Big Apple? Look at you. Good job. And then it was a summer of encouragement. It was a summer of a lot of goodbyes, a lot of nervousness, a lot of excitement about what was coming. Our church families commissioned us, prayed for us, and sent us off. We said goodbye to parents and grandparents. We had our last Tim Hortons for a while. And then we went off to Costa Rica for language school. It was a difficult year. It was a very important year that we were able to focus just on learning Spanish. And then guess what? They let us graduate. We learned enough. And then in August of 2016, we arrived in where?
Mexico City.
Very good.
He's just wondering if I'm paying attention.
Yes. We arrived in Mexico City, which is the fifth largest city in the world. It's hard to get the numbers right. It's sort of like, where does Toronto end and where do other communities begin? But to give you an idea of the size of Mexico City, it would be like going from Mississauga to Scarborough, east-west, west-east, west, whatever, west-east, and then going from Lakeshore to Newmarket. So that's kind of the size we're looking at. But then we're going to invite the populations of Ontario and Quebec to come and live with us in this space. So that's Montreal, that's Ottawa, that's everything. And so there's a lot of apartment buildings. It's a very busy, busy spot. Official population of almost 22 million. I've heard higher, I've heard lower, but anyways. We joined a big and awesome team of international workers that serve in various parts of the cities, with ministries that extend to least reached people groups outside of the cities in smaller communities. And as a team in Mexico City, we have a broad yet clear focus and a mission that God gave us out of a season of discernment and seeking Him, and it's this. In every effort, discipling people to be a transforming presence among the least reached. And that's something that we don't do that alone as a team of international workers. We partner with our family of our Alliance Church district in Mexico City as well. We have a passionate sort of national alliance church in Mexico, and we partner with them and even the local pastors in our various districts. I believe there's 7 districts within Mexico. Our boys started school, and they integrated and adapted really well. They have an amazing school called Bridgeway. They have some fantastic teachers, some really fun classmates, which get our kids into trouble. I'm sure that's the only way it goes, right? It's not that our kids get other kids into trouble. And the school was started with a strategic focus to reach out to a demographic which was spiritually neglected in the city. And we also jumped in and started serving at a new church plant called C3 Alliance Church, which stands for Comunidad Camino a Casa. And we disciple people through teaching, through worship, through workshops, through lots of coffee, lots of lunch meetings, lots of tacos. And then I started a Spanish-English language exchange called Hola Hello, which we heard a little bit about. This is one of our gatherings. I think that was one of our special gatherings where we had some food. And then afterwards, we don't normally dance salsa dances, but that's just what happened that one night. So I'm really glad it's not a video because I am terrible at salsa dancing. And then in our final year in Mexico City, on Wednesdays, we started something called Gospel Primer. We journeyed for 8 weeks together alongside a church in Canada. We translated the material and did it with them there, exploring what is the gospel? What is the good news? What does it look like to live as good news people in a community? And how does God's big story intersect with our stories? And after the 8 weeks, we kept on exploring how to live as the new family of Jesus. As we read through the books of Acts, we read through Luke, and then we read through Paul's letter to the church in Rome. And we also started and led a youth group as part of the church and had some really fun meals and did some excursions and things like that with them. And then in July of 2019, just this past July, we put all of our stuff into storage, packed everything we would need for a year in Canada, and hopped on a plane and came back. And here we are, back in Canada, for our one-year home assignment. And this is cool because we have this opportunity to share with people what God is doing around the world and to help them find their role in God's big story. And to be honest, it's not been easy coming back and trying to figure out how to sort of reintegrate into Canadian culture after being away. For example, one little story that captures this was we went to Tim Hortons and we went and we ordered and Jenica ordered can I have a coffee with one cream and one sugar? And then the lady handed it back and said, here's your coffee. It's called a regular. It's like, oh yeah, I guess we need to learn some of these terms and things. And then we kind of stood there and waited for the rest of our food. And then someone was like, you need to stand over there. Like, okay. So some of those hard things where you think it should be easy and it's not, you know, we can tap with our card and pay for things like everywhere. It's crazy. So some of those things have been hard. This whole year, which is a little bit odd with a lot of transition and change and instability. But in the midst of some of that instability and change, God gave Jenica kind of a picture, and I wanted her to share that with us.
So that's why I've been standing here awkwardly this whole time. So as we were preparing to come back on home assignment, I was feeling really torn because, as Dan mentioned, we lived in Halifax, Nova Scotia before we left Canada. And so in many ways that feels more like home, even though our families are here. And so I was just working through that in prayer, feeling like, how's it going to be to come back to Ontario, a place that I haven't lived for now half of my life? And God just gave me a picture of a table, a big, huge table that ran from Halifax all the way to Ontario. And he told me, you belong at my table. So it doesn't matter where you are, you belong. It doesn't matter if your seat happens to be in Ontario for a season or if your seat happens to be in Halifax for a season, you belong. So how does that relate to missions and stuff? As I've been sort of just exploring this idea of belonging and my seat at the Father's table, recognizing that the Father's table doesn't just go from Halifax to Ontario. It's a table that covers the entire world. And there's this picture in Revelation of every nation, tribe, and tongue bowing before the throne. And I love this painting it's a picture of the Lord's Supper with different nations, with the disciples representing different nations. And just this idea that, like, this is a promise that we have, that every nation, tribe, and tongue will be seated. If they're going to be around the throne, they're going to be seated at the table as well. And so God does this awesome thing where as he, like, heals our wounds, he helps us to see the brokenness and the need in other people as well. So as God has been ministering to me in this place of belonging, he's also been showing me, look at all the empty spots still at my table.
Look at all of the people who aren't here yet. You get to join me in inviting others to the table. And I just wanted to encourage you with that.
Thank you. You may be seated. Yes. So that's what I want to talk about today is the reality that there are empty seats at the table. And we all, every single one of us, has this awesome opportunity to be directly involved in seeing those seats get filled with people from every tribe and tongue and nation. And so one of the things that was really helpful for us, shortly after coming to Canada, we were asked to do a family night at one of the churches that we were connected to. And Jenica discovered this book called One Big Adventure. And it's an amazing resource. If you want, if you've got something to write down on, you can, or just take a picture of the screen. It's weavefamily.org/bigstoryseries, and there's three fantastic books in there. And we're going to read a story from one of them called One Big Adventure. And now, just to give you a heads up, this is a story that's designed for kids and families. And so I know that some of you think, I'm not a kid, I'm a grown-up. Let's reignite that childlike part of you, because I believe everybody loves listening to stories. Doesn't matter what age you are. Is that true? All right. Some of you agree. So let's read this story. If you want to close your eyes, you can. Otherwise, there are pictures that go along with it. Do you ever dream about being a character in your favorite story? I do. I imagine what it would be like to be a brave king on a noble quest, or a sailor searching for hidden treasure deep in the sea. My favorite story of all is God's story. It is full of many short stories that fit together to form one big story. God's story is true, and it began before the earth was formed, and it is still being written today. In God's story, he uses followers of Jesus to share his love with people from every nation, tribe, and language. I don't have to dream about being a character in God's story. I already am, and you can be too. Let me introduce you to some of my friends around the world who have important roles in God's story. Hi, I'm Sophia. My family and I live in Germany. One day, while playing at the park, we met a family from Syria. They had to flee from war to find safety here in Germany. My parents invite them over for dinner every month. While our parents talk, I show Aaliyah how to play my favorite games, and she teaches me new words in Arabic. Aaliyah's family has never learned about Jesus, so my dad invited them to study the Bible with us. My family and I are welcomers in God's big story. We look for ways to share God's love with people from other cultures who live right here in our city. My name is Sungmin. My family lives in South Korea. Every month, we learn about a new people group, where they live, what they believe about God, and what life is like for them. This month, we're learning about the Ansari people. Mom made a spicy lentil stew, an Ansari favorite. Dad is helping me to make a kite to fly, just like the Ansari children do. After dinner, my family gathers around our world map and prays that Ansari families will have the chance to learn about Jesus, the God who loves them. My family and I are prayers in God's big story. God uses our prayers to help bring the hope of Jesus to those who have not yet heard. Hi, I'm Ariana, and my family lives in Peru, I guess we say in Canadian English. When I was little, my family and I learned about a people group in the Middle East who had no Bibles or churches where they could learn about Jesus in their own language. We prayed that God would send followers of Jesus to help start a church there. The more we prayed, the more we knew that the family God wanted to send was us. This year, we've been learning to speak the language of this people group. Soon, our family will leave Peru and move to the other side of the world to live among them and tell them about the God who loves them. My family and I are goers in God's big story. We're leaving our home to go and live among people who have not had the chance to learn about Jesus. My name is Victor. My family and I live in Nigeria. We know a woman from our church who moved to Indonesia as a goer. She's sharing about God's love with a people group who does not know about Jesus. My family understands that she is doing important work, so we pray for her and give money every month toward her ministry. Now she's working on a team to translate the Bible into the people's language so that they can read God's word for themselves. My sister and I asked our neighbors if we could water their plants to earn extra money for the translation project. My family and I are senders in God's big story. We pray for goers and use our resources to meet their needs and fund projects that help people have the chance to learn about Jesus. Hi, I am Amira, and my family and I live in Pakistan. Our family loves being a part of God's big story. We want to help other families learn how they can be a part of it too. At church, I help Mom teach my class about what God is doing around the world. My father and big brother lead a Bible study with men and help them learn about God's story. Every week, our family spends time praying for different unreached people groups. We always invite other families to come and pray with us. And then here we have Amira teaching her friends how to pray. We have Amira's mom explaining through the Bible God's heart for the world to some of her friends. And then this is Amira's dad saying goodbye to people who he encouraged to go to Nepal. Says, my family and I are mobilizers in God's big story, and we want every family in our church to know about God's love for all peoples and to find a role in God's story. Do you want to be a part of God's big story? No matter where you live or what your family looks like, there is a role for you. God uses families just like yours to help others learn about him. Being a part of God's story is one big adventure. What a great day it will be when there are families from every people group who love Jesus. Did you hear that? God is inviting you and your family to be a part of his big story. All you have to do is say yes. And when we did this with this church, there was about three kids. Once we got to that part, about all you have to do is say yes, they all, yes! I was like, yeah, that's awesome. So I want us to explore together five different ways, based on these five families, how we can be involved in God's mission. There's welcoming, praying, going, sending, and mobilizing. So altogether, these five practices, we call them World Christian Habits. And it's through these that we get a chance to be directly involved in getting the invitation out to people who haven't yet received it. The invitation to come and join the table, partake in the feast. So why are these called World Christian Habits? Well, we call them World Christian Habits because these practices are grounded in a biblical view of God's heart for the world and God's great big global purposes, and they flow from a desire to see God glorified among the nations. We call these Christian Habits because these are practices for all believers, not just for pastors, not just for seminary students, not just for missionaries, not just for adults. They're for all believers. And we call these habits because it's not just something that you do one time. These are ongoing practices that become a part of everyday life. So once we get familiar with and we start growing in these World Christian Habits, we get to be a part of fulfilling the Great Commission, like we read in Matthew 28, where it says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So this isn't just Jesus' commission to his disciples. This is for us as well. We're called to be a part of bringing the gospel to all nations. Isn't that cool? And we all have a unique role in his story. And what does it say at the end there? How are we going to do it? Because he will be where? Beside us? He'll be with us. He'll be with us by his Holy Spirit. And he's going to empower us to do and be everything that we need through his strength and his empowerment flowing in us and through us. So let's take a look at each of these World Christian Habits. Welcomers. Welcomers. So perhaps it's no surprise to you, but in the town that I grew up in Coburg, and in the town Jenica grew up in Ingersoll, it was always a surprise when we would see someone who didn't look like us. When I would see someone that didn't look like me in my town, and I would always think, oh, I wonder where they're from. It never occurred to me that maybe they were my neighbor. Maybe they lived down the street. They looked like me, and I just assume, if they didn't look like me, I assumed they were from somewhere else. But oftentimes, especially in larger cities, and now what we're noticing after being gone for 4 years, we come back, even in the smaller towns, there are people from all sorts of different cultures and countries and places around the world that have never had access to the good news of Jesus. And so welcomers like Sophia and her family in Germany, these are people who take time to get to know those from other cultures, whether they're in your neighborhood as students, as professionals, refugees, and families who are living in their country. Welcomers practice hospitality. They meet the needs and they look for opportunities to introduce their international friends to Jesus. This might seem normal, and there's a verse in Leviticus that I find shocking. And it says this in Leviticus 19, verse 33 to 34. Do not take advantage of foreigners who live among you in your land. Treat them like native-born Israelites and love them as you love yourself. Remember that you were once foreigners living in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And that's shocking to me because of the context that it's written in, where God has chosen a people for himself, and a lot of the other commands seem to have to do with separate yourself, be careful, don't get polluted. And yet there's this verse about the foreigners who are living among you and to treat them like native-born Israelites and to love them like you love yourselves. And he ends it with this, I am the Lord your God. I find that shocking. The next world Christian habit, the goers. Do you remember who the goers are? Oh, I guess it's on the screen. Do you remember her name? Ariana. And where are they from? Peru. Very good. Goers are people who labor to reach those of a culture significantly different from their own with the truth of Jesus. And most often this involves actually traveling a far distance and learning a different language and going as a global worker. Sometimes it doesn't. And the landscape in Canada and around the world is changing drastically, and so it doesn't always mean going overseas. In fact, it can be going across the street. In Mark 16, it says this, it says, he told them, this is Jesus saying, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. So what has God commanded all believers to do? Go, to be involved in going and telling people good news. Next, we're going to look at the prayers. Where are the prayers from? Do we know? Oh, did I hear someone say Korea? Sungmin and his family in South Korea. Prayers are the people who consistently intercede for specific goers, for unreached people groups, and for more laborers to go and spread the gospel where it has never been heard. And in Luke 10, Jesus is giving these instructions to his disciples. He says, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. So what does Jesus say to do when faced with such a great task? I'm used to doing this in like living rooms with like 10 people. So if you want to reply, you can. What does Jesus say? Pray. Exactly. He asks us to pray. What I love about this passage, this is a freebie. You can take this one. Is that when Jesus is talking about pray that more workers would go, where are these workers supposed to come from? He's talking to his disciples, and so far they're kind of the only Jesus followers, and they don't still understand. They've never actually figured this thing out yet. And Jesus is saying, pray for more workers. So where are the workers going to come from? They're not going to come from the seminaries or the Bible colleges. Those don't exist. Where are they going to come from? Are they going to come from the churches? Those don't exist yet. I think what's fascinating, when Jesus is telling his disciples to pray for workers for the harvest, the workers are going to come from within the harvest itself. I think there's a whole different way to think about how we disciple people. And even for me, when I look at the people and the need around me, I think, oh, if only we had more international workers on our team. Oh, if only we... It's like, well, hang on. Maybe Jesus wants me to be praying for the people who are right around me that they will be the workers. Something to think about. Lastly, we have the senders. And where are the senders from? Nigeria, yes, very good. Victor and his sister, watering plants. So senders are people who volunteer their resources to support the work of the goers and the overall task of completing the Great Commission. Senders serve goers by praying for them and their work, giving money, and caring for their needs. In Romans 10, Paul's saying this. He says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? Speaking of Jesus. And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. So what are the two roles in getting this good news, getting this invitation to people? You have people who... people who pray, people who go, and people who send. Very good. I should make actions. Okay, next time. Yeah, we need all of these roles, but specifically when it comes to sending, we need people who are going to go, and we need people who are going to send. And then our last one, mobilizers. We have Amira and her family from what country? Do you remember? Pakistan. Very good. Mobilizers are people who are passionate about God's global heart and purposes, and they live in such a way to advance God's kingdom and help other believers to get personally connected to a role in completing the Great Commission. In 1 Corinthians, it says this. This is one of my favorite verses. All of you together are Christ's body. Each of you is a part of it. Who can be involved in what God is doing around the world? Everyone. Everyone. Because we're a body, and we need all of the parts working. And something that Jenica was observing a few years ago now about how sometimes we think of our body as being quite small. We think of this church being a body on its own, but it is. But how cool is it that this is also part of another body of a church in Cambodia and a church in Pakistan and a church in North Africa, that there are parts of the body in the global church. And then when we all are, a part of this thing together, the body is most fully reflected when we are working together. And then lastly, in Revelation, it says this. John is receiving a vision. He says, after this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. This is a cool promise. This is a powerful image. And like Jenica said, if they're around the throne worshiping, they're also at the table. There is room at the banquet table. There's tons of room. There are empty seats at the table. And how do we respond to those empty seats at the table? I don't know if any one of you has ever hosted a party and at the last minute someone had to cancel, but you've already set the place and you've already made enough food and it's sort of like that's too bad. That's kind of a shame. It kind of feels like you're missing something important because you're missing someone important. It's not about the extra work it took to put the plate and the utensils out. It's not about the extra work to boil an extra potato. It's not about that. It's when someone cancels, you're like, I really wish that they could be here. So let's work together to fill the empty seats. Let's work together to make sure that everybody gets an invitation. We can't force anyone to come to the table. There's the expression, you can bring a horse to water, lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But I like this little add on at the end. It says, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, but you can put salt in his oats to make him thirsty so he wants to. And I love that. I think there's something about offering an invitation for people to come and eat that does it in such a way that it doesn't feel like, come on, get to the table, eat, this is good for you, you need to eat this. It's telling this good news story that makes people thirsty for more. It's about living in such a way that is just a stark contrast to the way that people see other lives being lived. Because when there are communities of people around the world who are truly light in darkness, and they're truly salt bringing freshness, salt doesn't bring fresh. Salt brings preservation. If there are communities of people that living this way, I think that is compelling, and that's like putting salt in the food of people who are like, man, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I want to drink more. So when we get back to Mexico City, like that statement that we showed earlier, that's what we're going to be all about. We're going to be about, in every effort, discipling people to be a transforming presence among the least reached. We're going to be about putting salt in people's oats. Jenica and I, our first term was different than what our next term is going to be like. There's still some question marks about what that will be, but it's going to be about this. It's going to be about discipling people to be a transforming presence among the least reached. And what's cool is that that's also our opportunity that we have here in Canada, is to disciple people to be a transforming presence among the least reached. And so I'm excited to see, when I have been like having conversations with people and pastors and just asking people, like, tell me what's going on in your church, what's happening in your community, I see and hear stories of people who catch this. They catch this idea that if we truly believe that there are seats available, there are empty seats at the table, if we truly believe that there's going to be a way that we do things in our families, there's going to be a way to do things in our workplaces, there's going to be a way that we live in our schools that is going to be so compelling for people that they'll look and they'll say, wow, this person is different. And I think that's the Holy Spirit. That is the work of Jesus through his Spirit in us and through us. And so my hope for the Canadian church is that we will be all about this, inviting people to the table. So what is your role? What is your role in God's big story? Which one of these five world Christian habits is God wanting to develop in you? It might be one. It might be all of them. It might be three. But we have to ask him. We have to ask him. And it might be something that he grows in you all at once, or it might be a journey that he wants to take you on. Maybe he wants you to do some exploring with you about how he's made you, how he's wired you, how he's gifted you for his purposes. There's something that a phrase that someone told me who stole it from someone else, and it's, we tend to overestimate what can be done in 1 year, but underestimate what can be done in 10 years. And I think sometimes I feel that way about my own life, and I feel that way about the people who I'm investing in, and I feel that way about my kids. It's like, oh man, if only my kids could learn everything they need to know for the next 75 years in this year, then they'll be set up for success. But what are the things that God wants to be doing in you now? What are the decisions that you need to consider about how you can be most prepared or most ready and most willing to move in a certain direction? So that in 10 years, you are where he has for you. So it's not about doing this alone. It's about doing it in community. And so my hope is that as you consider what God's next steps are for you, that you're open to whoever he brings along in the journey. And it might be a complete stranger. So I'm hoping that right now, as we close in prayer, we can ask God to speak to us about what he wants to grow in us, about what world Christian habit or combination of world Christian habits he has. So let's pray, and then we'll take 30 seconds in silence, and we'll listen, and then we'll go from there. So come, Holy Spirit. Father, your heart is big, and you have set a table. We've already shared, and we've already remembered. Just like Jesus, you said, whenever you get together, do this to remember me. And so we've remembered your sacrifice. We've remembered what you've done for us. We know what you want to do in us and through us. And so, Father, we ask you to speak to us by your Spirit in these next 30 seconds about how you want us to obey what you're asking us to do.